Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to J.P. Gola, the new managing director of Court Square Theater. With a rich history, Court Square Theater is located in the heart of downtown Harrisonburg. Once the home of Rockingham Motor Company from the 1920s to 1970, it became the Rockingham Theater in 1998. In 2000, a group of local citizens came together with a vision to bolster the arts within the Harrisonburg and Rockingham community, forming the nonprofit Arts Council of the Valley. They were charged with managing the 260-seat theater, creating innovative partnerships with organizations, businesses, schools, and artists. At this venue, you can enjoy films, film festivals, live performances, Valley Playhouse community theater productions, community events, and more, with a chance, perhaps, for you to become a part of a new era of entertainment to unfold. JP is focused on getting the theater back up and stronger than before after it went dark over a year due to COVID-19. Welcome to the show, JP. It's great to have you on today.
Dawn, I'm so excited to be here with you and all your listeners. Hi.
And we call them, yes, I'm excited to have you too. Just a note, we call them laughers, you know, Virginia's for Laughers podcast. So,
hey, what's up, laughers?
This is such a thrill to have you on today. What an amazing addition to Court Square Theater to have you on as the new managing director. Just your experience alone and the combination of it is incredible. And I'd like to start with that. I'd like to have people just have to get to know you a little bit. You have a performance background on and off Broadway, as well as an MBA and experience running businesses. Can you share with our laughers a bit about you, some of your highlights from your performance background, and how your path has led you to the business experiences that now bring you to Court Square Theater?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. So I grew up in New York City, and ever since I was 5 years old, I started entertaining. And the business component of where I came in is I remember actually selling tickets to my grandparents and aunts and uncles for a puppet show in the back of the house. It was something that I remember it. And it was always for me the thrill of the business aspect of it, of running an actual show or an actual theater or an actual entertainment thing, which was wonderful. So basically, I went to school for theater, got my BA and BFA in acting and directing from DeSales University. At the time, it was Allentown College of St. Francis DeSales. And then it moved into DeSales University on my sophomore year there. Every place I went was always Catholic, which means I hold a lot of guilt. No, just kidding.
I understand. I have that background too.
Right? And then so I graduated from there, and then I took a couple years off, and then I went to grad school at Catholic University of America, got my MFA there, and stayed around, got my MBA, because I always wanted to dive into the business aspect of running the business, not just about, because as an actor, you're also your own business. And a director, you're your own business. You're selling yourself constantly. So in that, I ended up running a couple of theaters, some nonprofits and stuff. We did a lot of different things in that area up in Columbia. I was the original founding member of the Maryland Shakespeare Festival up in Frederick, and did a lot of things. Well, what brought me down to the Harrisonburg area was my wife. I met my wife in grad school, and she's from the Shenandoah Valley. And when we decided to settle down and have a family, we said, well, we can either go back to New York City where I grew up, or we can kind of stay in Shenandoah Valley area, and where it's much more cheaper and we can afford to live, right? And so that's where we settled in. And I was a director of sales at Massanutten Resort for years. I was there for about 10 years, started as a sales rep and then worked my way up and had a great time there. And then when COVID hit, it really kind of turned things around for me. And here I am. I'm managing the Court Square Theater as managing director, and I'm just so excited about it. Yeah, I mean, I could go on and on and talk about me. You know what I mean? But we're not going to do that right now because that's not what it's about. This is about the community, you know?
We are going to get into that. But I do have one question. That puppet show at Grandma Grandpa's, how old were you?
I was like five and six. But I did that. Like it would be a thing, you know, like our family was very, 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 very close. We still are. My cousins, my aunts, my uncles, my grandparents are now gone. But one of the things that we always did was when we got together as a family, I would always dress my cousins up in something and it would be something and we would direct it. But very into puppets. I mean, if I showed you my office right now, you'd see.
I'm just very into
all that. You know what I mean?
So, that's great. Yeah.
And that kept on going on. I mean, I'll sell any show. I mean, I'll sell it out. Let's get some tickets going. You know what I mean?
Let's do it. That's really great. I love that story. Now you're on at Court Square Theater, and part of your focus now is overseeing the installation of new safety measures because of COVID, including the replacement of two HVAC units. Can you share with us what these new units will do for the patrons?
Well, they have been told to, because I'm not a scientist, but I know, right?
Me neither. So we won't talk about that today.
Yeah. Yes. Keep short the test tubes and stuff away from me.
You know? It'll be the shortest podcast ever. We start getting into that.
But the new HVAC units, they have the special iodization method stuff that is going to like take in the air. It goes into special coils and it takes the bacteria out of the air when it pumps it back into the theater. So that is a special thing that it's supposed to do. And what it says is what the studies have been done on it say that it helps to prevent COVID. Now, I don't know if that's something that it helps to prevent it or not, because I'm not a scientist.
Right.
But we specifically had these new HVAC units put in. That is supposed to help circulate better airflow for everyone, which is good to know that it will be safer. It's a step safer. And man, I'll tell you right now, that was a big project. These big things, a crane, put it up on top of the roof, and then they have in the back of the theater, both sides of the theater have these huge units, and it's just incredible to see what they did. And the project is still not done because they still have to do some of the heating elements and put that in there. But our air is where it needs to be, which is important. So we have cool air in there. But yeah, I mean, crazy stuff, you know, I mean, to think that could be part of technology, you know, the airflow.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I think it's pretty cool too. It's a wonderful update for many reasons. That's really awesome.
I mean, you walk into that theater and you just breathe and it's like, freshness, like, woo-hoo, fresh air. You know what I mean?
Totally. I felt it when I went on a tour there.
Yeah, you felt it, right?
I know you felt it. So I could testify.
Amen, sister.
I could testify. No, but I did. And you also mentioned another upgrade coming when I was on that tour this last weekend, and that was the lighting systems. Can you speak on that a bit and any other renovations coming in the near future for that space we might expect?
Yeah. So the lighting system, the theater was made into a theater in 1998. That lighting system was old then when it was installed. So it's almost like, I mean, we might be able to sell it for some antique parts. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like also off road, whatever show, people come on in and take a look at my lighting system. Maybe you buy it from.
We can make another show out of that.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We'll call it like spark or something. You know what I mean? Because when you turn those lights up, you know. But anyway, so we have to take a look at, and it's in the works, to take a look at our lighting system and what the capacity of the power can be in that theater as far as voltage, right? And then from there, we need to take a look at updating our lighting system because we have plenty of lights. We have a lot of electrics, which means that those are the things that you keep the lights on. We have a number of those, but we can't but turn on so many lights without blowing our system. because it doesn't have the voltage and the wattage to be able to make the power work. And I'm like, hey, man, I got to have the power. You know what I mean? I have the power. So we need to have an electrician come in, and we're in the middle of getting the steps done for that, to do an electrical assessment of our electric system to see what voltage would be. And then we need to take a look at what it would cost and what it's going to be for our new lighting system that will give us more channels, so more lighting. So we can do more. You know, a lot of shows like dance, musical theater, they require lighting that is very fast, very crisp, and changes a lot of different instruments, a lot of different lighting cues. And in order to do that, you have to have the right things in place to do that. And we want to do that at our theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But all the shows that we've ever done, whenever we've done shows, we've had to bring more dimmer packs. We've had to bring more lighting to the space because the space could not hold but so much. So we would bring our own dimmer packs in, and we would plug them into a different circuit board so that we could power more show and then add more lighting, you know, and that would add us probably, that would give us probably another, you know, 15 or 20 lights. So we don't want to have to add that. We want it just to be on one system. And if it's a community, a heartbeat, and if we want people to come and use our space, then we want that to be for them. We don't want them to have to bring extra stuff to the theater to light their show. It's just not fair. So that's what we're looking at doing. And in addition to that, you know, we'll take a look at some other things, like in the front of the lobby when you first come in, we're looking at changing the lighting in the lobby there.
Nice.
Right now, the lighting that's in there is old neon, and neon is very expensive to power up. It's got a lot of different things in it, including gas lines and stuff like that, as well as the outside of the theater space is like that too. It blows very easily. When you lose a bulb, it's really, really expensive to fix. So we're looking to possibly go to like LED to change that and kind of do a little bit of difference with the lighting there to kind of give it a special pop when you come into the lobby. Things like that. You know, we're looking to go to that area of changing for the better and bring our theater into the 21st century, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be great.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about lighting, and you said that people brought in dimmer packs. What are dimmer packs? I don't understand.
Okay, so the lighting in the theater.
Yeah.
There's a big box, and that box is what's called a dimmer pack. Okay.
Okay.
That dimmer pack goes to our light board. That dimmer pack has 12 channels. Okay. And each channel has a number of different outlets, let's say, so to speak. And then you plug your light that's above the stage to one of those channels.
I see.
And then from the back of the house, you can raise a channel and then the light will go on and go off. But the issue is that one channel only has 1,000 watts, and one light bulb to run a light bulb for, depending on if it's a Fresnel or if it's a can or a par or whatever it may be, Alico, whatever, they have different wattages that are each bulb has a different wattage, right? So let's just say, for example, the average wattage for a bulb might be, you know, 500 or 600 watts. Well, that means you can really only get like maybe one, if two, lights on one channel, right? Because otherwise you'd blow your channel and then you blow your fuse and then that's it, right? So we have the issue with capacity there, because we only have so much wattage. So you can only put, let's just say, for example, if you use one for each channel, and that's another story for another day, we have a couple channels that are already blown out. So you really only have 9 channels. But anyway, if we were to use them, so you can only use like 9 or 10 lights. So then you have to use additional lighting. Otherwise, you can't. There's going to be corners of your stages or part of your stage that has darkness. So what we do is we bring in extra dimmer packs. We've used extra dimmer packs from EMU before in the past. We've used them from our own, from like Valley Playhouse would bring their own dimmer packs. They're like extra circuits. They're extra circuits, extra dimmer packs that you can plug into the wall that allow you to put, you know, another one or two lights on them. And they can run out of the circuits in the wall and in through a little cord that goes into the dimmer pack. And they can run off of our big light board at the back of the theater. But they have nothing to do with the energy or the voltage for that box that's in the theater. They're separate because they're off of their own dimmer pack. So we usually bring about 5 or 6 of those to give us more lights because otherwise we wouldn't have a lot of light. I mean, that theater is huge. It's a huge stage. It's very wide and it's very deep. And when you have a wide stage and a deep stage, you need more lighting to cover those corners, to cover the back part, to cover forward. And it also has a thrust in the front of it. The thrust that comes down stage and center, that needs lighting too. You know what I mean? So when we look at it, we're like, okay, so we need to get this theater lit in the proper way so that it actually can show what we need to do and how we need it to work. So not to give you a whole dissertation on lighting, you know, Dawn, but still.
And we told them we weren't going to talk about science.
No, right? A plus B equals 2C squared or whatever that is, you know?
And that concludes our science portion of the podcast.
I know, right? Just call me Ben Stein.
Well, thank you there, Ben.
No problem.
Oh, my God. Well, we have some exciting things coming up, though, you know, in the theater with you starting us off. And one of those is on September 29th through October 3rd, the Hispanic Film Festival. The first film being shown after COVID is I Carry You With Me. What can you tell us about this event, that film? And is this event open to all? In other words, will the films have English subtitles? I mean, asking for a friend.
I know, right? Yes, they will. Yes, they will. You know, it's interesting. Like, I remember when I first went to Court Square Theater years back, probably I'd say about 9 or 8 years ago, I remember going to this event. This event, the Hispanic Film Festival, has been one of our oldest events that we've had. This is like the 18th year that we're doing it.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And Karina has been amazing. Karina is a professor at JMU and it blanks my mind exactly what she's a professor for, but she's the director of that particular festival. And she hand selects every single one of these movies every year on her own. Wow. And she does it off of many times, like, issues that might be going on. She'll do it off of, you know, different events that might be circulating around the world of what's going on. And we usually piggyback with this particular festival off of the international festival, which this year, I'm understanding, is very virtual. It's not, they're not doing as many things in town. But every year it happens around the end of September, beginning of October. And the films are quite amazing. If you want to know about the films themselves and like want to see some of the trailers that are there for the films, you can go to our website, valleyarts.org, and you can take a look at the link that is there for the Hispanic Film Festival. And it actually takes you to a poster, a rundown of what the movies do, and it will give you a trailer of each one of them, which is kind of cool. These are all in Spanish. They do have English subtitles, and everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome. You know, it's just a really great way to be able to celebrate Hispanic films. There's a lot of wonderful ones out there. And I tell you what, when you've seen one of these films, it's kind of different than watching a lot of times movies that are majorly produced, that are out there, that are just kind of like English, like regular movies that are out there. A lot of times these particular movies have very, very deep rooted issues that come across a little bit different because they're being done in a totally different country, totally different language, and totally different culture behind them. You know what I mean? So there's power in that, just to be able to bring yourself to a theater and seeing a piece like that, that can really be like, wow, this is really, really powerful. Now, I and my wife, I'm all about seeing movies like that. I love movies in different languages. My wife is not about it. She doesn't have the patience to read the subtitles. But I'm a firm believer in this, Dawn, that when you watch something, you don't necessarily have to understand the language, because when we communicate, communication can be done without actually understanding any language. And that's kind of a cool thing. So if you don't even look at the subtitles, many times you still can see what's going on and your heart can feel for the characters in that particular piece. That's where the charisma of art, it comes into play. You know, when you're born, you don't know how to speak, but you can communicate. So, yeah.
I agree with that 100%. And that's, yeah. I mean, you see that all the time. There's so much communication non-verbally and body language. The look on someone's face, emotion, whether they're laughing or crying or angry, you don't have to say, I'm angry, to know someone's angry, you know.
You're like, oh, we see you're angry, girl. We get it. Okie dokie.
And you don't want to see that, Lavers. Believe it or not, it does happen.
You're right.
And, you know, usually at a red light. But anyway. like we get a lot here. Anyhow, I digress. Also in October, the Valley Playhouse Community Theater is presenting its next production. What is it? And do you have a role in that production?
Yes, I do. And the production is Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh.
The classic Alice in Wonderland.
I love Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And I do have a role in it. I actually have a couple roles in it. So I'm the director of the piece in the production. And I'm also the set designer as well.
Okay.
And I've been involved with Valley Playhouse for many years. I've been on the board, I think, for close to 8. And I was the president of the board for about 4 years. And then I had stepped down off of the board of the Valley Playhouse when I took on this role as, you know, managing director of the Court Square Theater, because there was a little bit of a conflict of interest there. And it's the same thing with the Arts Council board. I stepped down off of that board as well. I was on that board for 4 years. And so this production is really, really going to be exciting. It's got high school students in it. It's got adults in it. We've got characters that are just, we've got puppets in it. Hey, there's that puppet thing. You know what I mean? So it's just going to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
So you got puppets and you've got crazy characters and bubbles. There's going to be bubbles in it. Forget about it.
It's going to be off the chain.
It's going to be off the chain.
If that's him now, I don't know.
Juicy. You're going to just be in heaven. And it's all about that in this particular production that we're doing. You know, Alice in Wonderland can be kind of dark. Some of the writings can be kind of dark. This is a very uppity version, very farcical, very witty. And I feel like it's going to allow you to be able to experience performing art again in a way that takes your mind away from the outside world and brings you to a place where you say, there was life before COVID.
And
it's just going to make you feel really, really good. And we're excited about that. We wanted to make sure that the production that we first brought back was going to be something that was like
uplifting,
you know, out there, you know, not like Waiting for Godot or anything. No Hamlet, nothing like slit your wrist, kind of like, life is, you know what I mean? We want to uppity, airy, let's make this happen. And
I think
that opens up on the 14th of October.
Yeah, good call.
For 2 weeks.
Okay, good. That's a good call. We don't need any more of that. So, I'm all for it. I'm with you. Speaking of shows, you had some previous popular shows with great followings from JMU students and the JMU community. Do you see any of them coming back to the theater? If so, which ones?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you say that and that you mentioned that. I actually have a meeting today, in like 2 hours, 2.5 hours, with JMU Rocky Horror Group, which
I'm really
about. So they've done some really, really great stuff in our space every year. It's always a thrill. I've seen it. I've been involved in it. I've worked the concessions for it. Rocky Horror is great, especially with the shadow cast. So we're going to definitely bring that back. I want to really look into a lot of the film festivals that we can do with JMU that we've done in the past before. I really feel like there's a lot of creativity and a lot of great stuff out there. You know, our theater is really small compared to the Forbes Center and the stages that they have over at JMU. In a way, it's extremely intimate. You know, it's 260 seat, but there's not a bad seat in the house. And you're really like, when you stand on stage and that thrust, you're like in the middle of like, on not their lap, but you're there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas other theaters can be really, really, really spread out. And you can kind of feel like, okay, well, I'm in the audience, but I'm very far away from the stage. This is not that case. I mean, you can hear a pin drop on that stage. So I feel like also a lot of the experimental theater A lot of the student opportunities for like maybe young directors to do a piece would be really great to do at our space, because it allows them to be able to do a whole production, but not have to worry about a really big space to fill. I mean, in our theater, you could have, you know, 50 to 100 people in there, and it could look like a packed house, and it would feel like a packed house, you know. So I'm excited for those particular opportunities to come about, because, well, I mean, that's what, you know, I kind of came through. You know, I remember doing a piece when I was in, when I was getting my dissertation, and I was going through my comp classes and stuff like that. And I remember doing Annie in a theater, and it was just a couple scenes from it, but I had a whole band backstage and I did everything, the whole production. It was all part of what I did. And that's what these students are going through too. So it gives them another opportunity and another space to be able to do that at, which is a full working theater, which is great.
Yeah, I like that. You did mention a terminology I'm unfamiliar with. It was shadow cast. I don't understand what is shadow cast.
Oh, shadow cast. Yeah, oh, shadow casts are awesome. So, you know, you have you ever been to a Rocky Horror show before?
I don't believe I have.
So there's a lot of different types of Rocky Horror Picture Show, right?
Okay.
So there's Rocky Horror. There's an actual musical called Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I'm familiar with that. Okay.
That's fierce. That's awesome. That's juicy. Okay.
Delicious.
Yes. Like sugar crush. You know what I mean? But shadow cast is when you actually go to the theater and you see the movie plays, but then there's characters from the movie. The characters are all around you and it's very interactive. You get a little doggy bag in the beginning and that has all like little things in it and you throw things and it's just it's very interactive. And if you've never been to one before, it's a hoot. It's a blast.
Okay.
Especially if you know the show. I mean, Rocky Horror has a very big following behind it. I would call it a cult, but it's really not a cult. But you know what I mean? It's like that following.
I understand. Yeah, yeah.
And so people that actually go to the shadow casts and actually go to the shows, like it's not just the movie, it's like the shadow cast. There's a whole bunch of players that are there and they play the roles. They're in costume and everything like that. And the people that are in the audience, they know the lines that are going to be said next.
Okay.
And somebody, a character in the movie says something and then they repeat it. And it's just real. It's awesome. It's a really great opportunity for people to see something different. It's like theater. It's like movies meet theater of the absurd.
Sounds high energy and highly entertaining.
Oh yeah.
Sounds like. Okay.
Oh yeah.
All right. Okay. That's gonna be a lot of fun to bring that back. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about you being in this role. You were recently quoted in an article as saying, quote, "The theater is very much a heartbeat inside a community and we need to get it back," end quote. Can you elaborate on what your vision is and what you see in the new era of entertainment at Court Square Theater?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that quote up.
Absolutely.
You know, theater and it has always been in many different cultures and mostly all cultures around the world, the heartbeat of that community. I mean, you talk about, you know, shaman. You talk about Sanskrit art. You talk about even in Greco-Roman times, it was always the big heartbeat of the community. And a lot of times it actually commented on society, which is one of the reasons why theater was always one of the first things that was always closed down when people didn't want people to express themselves and talk about what was going on, you know. But I feel like our particular community is just a melting pot of just so many wonderful, delicious cultures and people that really have the ability to express themselves and express their culture on stage, whether it be via films, dance, poetry, plays, music, musicians. And I feel like one of the things that our theater needs is the community, and the community needs us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with that, I feel like there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of groups that are doing some really great work and great things to be able to express that in some sort of venue. And what better venue than a theater to do it?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I feel like I want our theater to shine and to have the support from the community behind it, but also to support the community on it and in it. And in order to do that, we need to branch. I need to branch out to the community and say, okay, well, these are things that you have going on. How cool would it be to be able to make it so that a lot of people can see what's there instead of just keeping it in a small little tiny either meeting hall or whatever it may be, like do a show, do some sort of talk back, bring in some sort of film to be able to talk about exactly what is the point of what you're trying to portray or what you are portraying or what you're feeling. I think that that's important. Our theater to sit and to not have anything go on is a heart-wrenching thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is just a great opportunity for us to do that, not only because we don't have a lot of programming going on, whereas a lot of theaters already have their seasons in advance and they have this going and they really have a hard time sliding different programming in. With us, we're kind of starting from a clean slate and we have the ability to do that. But it can't be done unless people in the community uplift it and make it something that can really be that heartbeat, you know. And that's not just about going to the theater just to see your particular thing. It's also going to support other things as well, because then you really understand how much of a multicultural melting pot we are.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah. We have ESL in our schools is what, at 70 or 80% the last time
I know.
Yeah. So yeah. We're a huge immigrant community, and our Mennonite friends that live in this area are a big reason that we are. So you're right, absolutely right. We have a lot of culture here. Yeah.
It reminds me of a little mini New York City.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. I mean, when you walk down the street, you can, especially if you walk in our community, if you walk in certain areas, I mean, literally you can, from one house, you can get a waft of their dinner and what their food is. And then you can hear music coming from this house of their particular music that they love. And then you can walk a little bit further and you can see people sitting on their front porch playing their particular family game. And it's just cool. It's just like really, really cool. That's the way it is in big, big cities like New York, where I grew up. I mean, I would get off the subway and I could hear this and that and that and that and this and smell this. And I mean, it was just kind of like all five senses, just like boom in your face. You know what I mean?
Us. Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, I'm excited. You know,
if people just walk down the street, just in our community here, just walk down, and I'm not talking that necessarily about Main Street, but if you just walk down a street of better houses and you just listen and just open up your senses, your five senses, there's so much that you can see and discover and that you can be enlightened to. Powerful stuff right there. But people don't have the time for that. People don't care about that. They need to start.
Absolutely. I'm learning a lot about living presently.
In the moment.
And that's a great way to do it. Take some time, laughers, on the weekend if you live here or come into the valley and stroll the downtown in Court Square and see what he's talking about. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited about these partnerships. And you've met already. One of them is with the Shenandoah Valley Black Heritage Project and talking to them about working together in the future. Who are they and what might we be able to look forward to in your collaboration with them?
I love them. Let me tell you right now. I love them.
Well, Robin, good. Then Sharon. I love them too.
Oh my gosh. Robin Little and Sharon Barber and even Jackie Wells. So here's the funny thing. You know, before I really even started this job, because I started this job on August 2nd, right? Jenny's like, come on, we're going to go here and we're going to go for this meet. We're going to go to this little house for a meeting and we're going to go and we're going to join the Black Heritage. I don't know if they called it a workshop or if they called it a meeting or whatever it was, but it was on a Wednesday. And here I go. Not to know what to expect, right? So yeah. I always carry a pad around with me everywhere I go. And the pad, you know, it's like a notepad because I'm a note taker, and that's how I get my ideas in my head. I mean, you can give me an idea and be like, bam, here we go. This is how we're going to do it. You know what I mean? And that's just what I do. And yeah. So I walked in and I met Robin at first, and then Sharon came with her mom, and it was just wonderful. And I had no idea what this organization was, what they had done, because this was really new to me, right? But come to find out, they do a lot of amazing things for a small little tiny organization that really just works out of a little house that's right by the cemetery off by Lucy Sims. A powerful stuff. So they do what's called the Roots Run Deep Tour. It's amazing. It's a tour of 24 different stops and locations in Harrisonburg that are historic, that talk about, you know, historic, and they are historic African-American like houses and businesses and a lot of really, really great things. And if you want more information about it, you can go to valleyblackheritage.org, and it really shows you all their stuff. But they're doing something coming up, which is amazing. It's called A Day of Celebration. It's on September 18th, and it's at Riverside Park in Elkton. And basically, they're doing like this, and I was really mesmerized by it. But one of the things that when we were speaking, and they were, and Sharon was speaking about relatives and family members and people, how they connect in culture, and how they connect. A lot of the stories that were talked about how they really connected. We're talking about the historic Black families. They really connected through sports, which was really, really brilliant. I was like, wow, because they would always meet at different games that they would play. And that's how they would meet. And that's how they would connect. And that's how they would talk and discuss and really celebrate culture. Well, at this day of celebration, they're doing an all-Black sports reunion from 10 a.m. to noon.
Oh,
which is
my
great.
Gosh, that's yeah. so cool.
They're honoring soul food. So they're doing a history and they're talking about the history of food and chefs in the area from 1 to 3. They do a gospel program at 3:30. But this is a really, really great project. So what I was thinking in my mind, because, you know, we were talking about so many different things, I was like, well, what are ways that the Court Square Theater could really be involved and be used for a lot of different programming that we could do, right?
Right.
So I have ideas of some of the shows that we could write, some of the plays, some of the things that we can talk about. They were talking about this place that was called Miss Jenny's Tea Room. And they said, well, is it Miss Jenny's Tea Room or is it called the Chicken Shack? Because people called it different things. So I was like, well, how cool would it be to do like a show? And really the comical bit is whether or not they called it Miss Jenny's Tea Room or the Chicken Shack. And how it was all back and forth, yeah. you know what I mean? So just ideas about that. But this, and that was just one particular group. Remember, this is like a little bit over a month ago that we had met, right?
Yeah.
That we had kind of talked about. Well, that would be one of a project that I would really love to kind of make to come to something that would be great for our community. You know, it's funny, you know, that small little tiny meetings like that can do so much. You know,
yeah,
really, honestly,
absolutely.
I mean, I could show you, I mean, you really can't see much from the Zoom that we're on, but I could show you the notes and notes and notes that I have about the different people that we spoke about, you know, about Ryan Buchanan and some of the Roots Run Deep Tour and, you know, the Summer of Soul stuff that they have and Charles Robinson and just names that are on here of people that, and it's really a file that's incomplete because it's a project that we could keep on, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's what I, but, you know, if you ever have some time and you have some free time, go down to the Valley Black Heritage Building. It's right there. If you can Google it.
Yeah.
And meet Robin and Sharon. Just great people. Really, really awesome people. Robin actually used to be a professional lighting designer.
Oh, okay.
New York. So like we
could. Oh, wow. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put this out there, Robin and or Sharon, if you're listening to this, I'm going to be calling you to see if you want to be a guest on this show, because I think more people need to know about what you guys are doing.
That would be great.
I'm just putting that out there as you guys listen. So anyways, that is a good segue into what if someone has an idea to do something that would be great for the community at the theater? What would you advise them to do?
Well, come to me. Come to. If I don't know about your ideas, then I can't help to make them come to fruition, right? So
right.
I can't make. You know, I have to be somebody. I'm not. I don't have. I am not psychic. Maybe I am. No, just kidding. I don't have ESP, although maybe I do. You
know? Will I be rich? That's the next one.
No, but I honestly feel like, we do all that we possibly can to especially our organization, the Arts Council, you know, we do all we can to be hands-on and to be welcoming, right? Like
right.
We have a number of different galleries, you know, you can come in anytime. So I am extending an invite for you to come to me and let me know that you have this opportunity, and that opportunity might not that you'd like to do. And that might not be right away, because sometimes things take a little bit of planning. But I would much rather have your ideas and try to make things work for our community, for the betterment of our community, not for you, but for our community.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Than to not have the idea at all. So my email is Court Square Theater. That's TheaterTheater. So CourtSquareTheater@gmail.com. Really easy. Email me. You can also stop down here to the Arts Council building. I have my offices in here. You can come and see the puppets. You can come and see Shakespeare. And I've got a lot of things. You can come and see one of my former set designs.
Cool.
Come on down and let's talk. Let's set up time. I have 4 meetings today.
That's great.
With you to talk about opportunities. And I'm all about that, to make something amazing for our community.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I know that firsthand, because I was talking with you about some ideas just this last weekend when I met with you for some upcoming comedy in the future. And we won't let the cat out of the bag.
I got it right here. You can't really see it because of my thing, but I got a whole notepad, clipboard, your name's on it. Like, I got your bookmarker. Got it all right here.
It's pretty exciting stuff. You know, I'm just going to say Mayberry weekend, but that's all I'm going to say right now. So when you're following this podcast and you hear that come up again, I'm like, wait, Dawn and JP were talking about that a while ago. We got to go. So yeah, I think it's going to be amazing what's happening. And as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow Court Square Theater on social media and the best way to get tickets to upcoming events and shows and films? Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. So you can certainly follow us. Please do. You can, if you were to be on Facebook or Instagram or Insta, just put Court Square Theater in. It will pop up. We have an Instagram page. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter page, but I tell you what, I don't even know what the password is on it, but apparently we have one. So but you can find us there. And if you want to get tickets to events and you want to see things that are going on, you can go to valleyarts.org, and that will take you to a part of our website there, off of that website for Court Square Theater. And you can kind of get your information. You can purchase tickets and stuff like that. We are in the middle right now of finishing and finalizing our ticket sales that we have. And it's going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. I think we're going to have our own website, but it's not there yet. So we're looking at doing that. So stay tuned, because I feel like we'll have our own website soon that will really, really help to get us out there as Court Square Theater. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, just one fun fact question before I forget, because I see that I overlooked it here in the notes, and I definitely wanted to cover this before we do close out. And that's a side note on the history of the theater. And maybe this is, you know, just a fun way it was supposed to happen this way, because it's a cool piece that you have right outside the doors to the entrance to the the theater, and that's this box, your box office. I mean, it's,
yeah, man, it's awesome. And
yeah, it's just set up like standalone. I've always thought it was really interesting. And then I looked up to prepare for this podcast interview because it looks like it comes from another era, and it does.
Yeah.
It's actually from the historic Kavanaugh Hotel. So yeah. What can you tell us about it as we close out here?
Well, I'll tell you this. I performed in that theater for many, many years. Ooh. And I always said, wow, that box office is really, really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
Never knew until I started this job.
Yeah.
The amazing historic component of what that and other attributes are outside of theater. So not only is that box office part of the Kavanaugh Hotel, but the two, you can see because I'm pointing it out here in front of me, the two pillars that are on either side of our entranceway that lead into the theater are from the dining room part of the Kavanaugh Hotel.
What?
And if you walk, and if you walk around as if you were going to go down the corridor towards Capitol Ale House, there's a shoe shine
yes,
bench.
Yes.
That is also from the Kavanaugh Hotel.
I did not know that.
Yeah, absolutely. People go, why is there a shoeshine bench up in here? Well, that's why. Because it's really pretty. It's made of like marble and stone, and it's just like, it's just gorgeous. So basically what had happened was the Kavanaugh Hotel was going to close down. And they said, you know what, let's take these pieces that are really, really big and part of the community and historic component, and let's put them inside this space here and use them. And they did. But I find it really, really amazing that, like I told you, I've used the space many times, done many shows there. I mean, we're talking about shows upon shows. I've seen so much stuff there at this theater and involved in so much stuff and never knew
that's
where they came from.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, when we were going through some stuff inside the theater, Brittany Mongold, who is our house manager.
Love said, Brittany.
I love her too.
shout out to Brittany.
Yeah, shout out to Brittany. Brittany, love you. She said, JP, she said, do you want to put these particular little articles and stuff up from the Kavanaugh Hotel? And I was like, absolutely. So if you go into the theater now, on both sides of the entrance, there's like some historic stuff that talks about the Kavanaugh Hotel. And there's like a check that was written original back in the day. And you can see that. But yeah, there's that historic component, not to mention the fact that, you know, obviously it's a historic building that used to be a car dealership, which has its pros and its cons for a theater because those big beams that get in the way reinforce the building so that it can lift vehicles up and down. Well, they get in the way for set designing and stuff like that. But it is a beautiful space. It really is. So.
Yeah. Well, laughers, if you haven't been, we hope we have piqued your interest, our interest, to come see it for sure and events there and watch the new era of entertainment unfold right here in downtown Harrisonburg. Thank you, JP. This has been interesting, great, informative, and exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing what's next for you and for Court Square Theater. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dawn. It's so wonderful to be with you today. Appreciate it.
Yes, I loved it. Laughers, be sure to follow this theater on Facebook and Instagram and see what's happening and get plugged in. We'll also be sure to put that information in the show notes as well, along with their website info. And of course, lastly and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.